Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Co-Opticast. This is episode 95, and I'm back after a extended stay in Oregon with the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Mike Farianoth Katsafrakis.
Howdy.
Did you guys have a sleepover?
We had a nice little sleepover.
Oh, I even convinced him to stay an extra couple days.
Yeah. He decided to run out to Wisconsin and Iowa and cut some data cables. It was pretty amazing. And joining us, as always, is Mr. Nicholas B.A. Penguin Paleo.
What up?
And our great neighbor to the White North, Mr. Locke Vincent.
Curling, lumberjacks, maple syrup.
Exactly. You are wearing flannel, I might point out.
You do kind of look like a lumberjack right now. So, probably a short episode tonight. There's been a lot of, exciting games coming out, but that's pretty much about it. That's kind of being discussed right now in the gaming world. But before we get into all that exciting
news... Wait, hold on.
News,
we're talking about games?
Yes. I'm sorry, do you have to leave now?
I wanted to talk about bayonets.
And horses.
Topical.
We're topical! Yeah. And for everyone who's in Canada, there was a really funny comment in the presidential debates.
It was pretty funny.
Let's start it off, as we always do, with what you've been playing. And we're going to turn it over to Mr. Nick Paleo for a change of things. What you've been playing?
I've been playing through Painkiller Hell and Damnation for review. Embargo is actually not till the 29th, but I can talk a little bit about it. It's a new Painkiller game done in Unreal Engine 3. It's got two-player co-op for the whole campaign.
Nice.
There's actually local split-screen co-op on the PC, which is a rarity these days. So that's good stuff. Yes, there is a stake gun. It's back. You can stick Ray. Guys to the walls and watch them hang there.
Though it is not a stakes. STEAK.
Oh, no, I was gonna say, how do you like it? Well done.
enormous bosses?
If Andrew was making the game, there would be a steak gun.
Yeah
but there'd also be a Baconator cannon.
It'd be a cheeseburger gun.
The byline for the article I posted today actually made that joke, and he was the first person to comment, obviously. He could sniff that stuff out. But
how is it?
You just reminded me, Locke, that the main character in the game sounds a lot like John St. John, who does the voice for Duke Nukem Forever. Or for Duke Nukem.
Yeah. In Duke Nukem Forever. He's done it forever.
It's a self-titled game.
But I looked up the credits, it's not him.
Duke
so
Nukem never dies.
But, is it the guy who does Serious Sam's voice? Because he tries to pull a John St. John.
Yeah, no, it's not him. But, yeah, it's pretty solid so far. Like I said, we'll have the full review on the 29th.
Nice.
It's actually coming to Xbox and PS3 in January as well.
Nice.
Also been playing a ton of XCOM, which is so good. I know Locke's going to talk a little bit about that. But it is... Firaxis knows their turn-based strategy, that's all I can say. If I had that game in Civilization V, I would be a happy gamer for a year. Be all I
so,
need.
So, no Who, kidding. Who's kicking ass in your game right now?
Yeah, you just want me to say it on air that
yeah,
J-Love
I do.
Is the sniper to be in my game. But yeah, no, Locke's doing pretty good too. But Mike, you're dead. We kind of established that as well. He's sad. I was saying to Mike, I said it'd be a really awesome feature if the game, like, you could put people's Twitter alias when you create the profile, and so it would like tweet them like when they do cool stuff,
like you just died.
That is like actually a Twitter thing I would use and connect.
Yeah, it'd be pretty neat. So
there was an article I was reading, I think it was up on Penny Arcade, that Jerry was saying how he wishes there was asynchronous co-op.
Yeah.
The game.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of strategy elements on a world level and stuff. You like trade resources and things like that. It'd be cool to kind of have multiple people worry about different areas of the world and kind of have like that kind of thing that everybody's worrying about. You worry about Asia, I'll worry about North America, and vice versa. Kind of thing would be kind of neat. But
strategic first-person game that maybe should have been what Syndicate was. Sorry, what?
This isn't first-person.
No, I know.
Yeah. And then the other game that I got it's still beta, is Minor Wars. And I've been playing that, kind of checking it out. And it is really solid. They've really been going kind of iterative through their development. And if you liked any of the Descent games in Free Space, like, this is your game. It's got like a story mode, and that's got single player, and it's co-op. Right now, it supports, I think, up to 8 in the build.
Wow.
And you can drop in and out at any time. But it's just kind of all these like little throwback things. Like in the first mission, like there's some miners you have to go and rescue, like you used to in Descent, that little guys, you know, kind of things like that. It's really hard too. At the default difficulty, I almost couldn't get out of the freaking first level because you have to worry about things like your oxygen depleting, and you have to pick up oxygen tanks to kind of refill your thing, as well as your armor and your ammo and stuff like that.
How much does it cost to get into the beta? Or is it still free?
I think it's $10. Well, you can download the demo version. Anybody can get the beta, but you can't save then. And then I believe the full version is $10 right now. 10 or 20, I can't remember. It's really solid. And like I said, you can get the demo version right now just to kind of check it out.
It's $20.
$20, okay.
Yeah.
So I've been working my way through that. I haven't got to play co-op, but you can kind of leave it open for friends to jump in and jump out at any time and things like that. And I know they just got greenlit for Steam, so that should really help them out when they launch later this year. So that's about it for me.
Nice.
Cool. Mr. Locke Vincent, since you've also been playing some XCOM.
Yeah, XCOM has pretty much taken over my life. It's really good, and I'll tell you why, and this is kind of been repeated across the internet for the last couple weeks here, but it is the most accessible turn-based strategy game I've played, and I'm talking all the way back to the Heroes of Might and Magics, anything like that. Like, it's insane how easy you can just sit down, get into it, and just keep doing one more turn. And a lot of people, I think, are intimidated from strategy games like this because A, they normally don't play them, and B, when people talk about these, and especially hardcore strategy fans, and people who played the original XCOM, like, this is such a good modernization of the original XCOM, but they've managed to make it so just people who, like, I would recommend this to anyone, because I think this type of game deserves to be played, and Firaxis, like Nick said already, like, Firaxis knows how to make these types of games, and I think they were the perfect vessel to make XCOM, you know, something for everybody, which is crazy, because when I play it, it's like my brain melts with like the different decisions you have to make, and it's always a situation of you have 12 things to do and you can do like one of them.
Yeah.
And it's stressful and it's difficult and the game is ruthless, but it's so rewarding when you do, like, make that awesome shot, or you do, you know, save these people, or, you know, just get out of there by the skin of your teeth, and I mean...
So there's I just want to interrupt you real quick. Yeah. There's a really good article, well, there's two articles out there. Both are by Tom Chick. The first one that he wrote in September, on September 1st in the year 2000, and it was about the original XCOM.
Yeah.
Okay? And he has the four things that make it really good, and his four things are the sense of attachment to your troops, the way the gameplay unfolds in the campaign, the atmosphere, and the way you can break stuff, which is, you can still break stuff, you can break through walls and stuff.
It has a ton, that was a big deal. Yeah, it has but a ton of emergent actually, gameplay.
He actually wrote an article then, now, where it's himself talking to the year 2000 himself about XCOM, and it's a really interesting read, and how close that they managed to capture a lot of the things from the old game, but modernize it.
Yeah, which is crazy.
His general review of the game was really solid too.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely nailed it. Like, all of those things he listed are why I like playing it.
So you mentioned, though, like people have that sort of barrier to entry. Mm-hmm. That they kind of view turn-based as something hard to get into. And is it because the XCOM series typically has that sort of viewpoint as being, you really have to be into your turn-based strategy shooters. Like, you really have to be into this stuff and customizing your squads and taking the nitty-gritty. But this version of it is to such a degree that anyone can pick it up. Like, they've kind of, you can get into that level of detail, or you can just kind of hop in and take one more turn, and still succeed.
Well, they've done a couple things to set you up for success. One, the tutorial is very long, but it fits so well into the campaign that you don't even notice it's a tutorial. They give you these specific objectives, like capture this type of alien, build this type of technology, and you're sort of working towards that. And those are, you could call them, I guess, story missions, but you'll do a bunch, you'll do like half a dozen missions before you hit all of those story points. And each of those kind of, you know, introduces a new mechanic or introduces a new unit or a new mission style. That's one of the ways they do it. And it's such a seamless way to play through the campaign. Like, I couldn't tell you when the tutorial finished, because it was just, I just didn't even notice, which was awesome. And then the second thing is that there's this idea that XCOM, like, when I went back and played the original XCOM, it was a little tough. Like, it is not hard. It is very difficult to get back into. It doesn't hold up, I think, in terms of ease of playing. Like, it's still a decent game, but I would never go back and play the old XCOM, like, for hours on end. And what this does is it sort of shatters that idea that you have to look at all these graphs of, you know, your economy around the world. And that's what people think when, you know, they have this idea of that when they're looking at strategy games. But it's not that. It's just, you can pick, here's your list of decisions that you have to make, pick one, because that's all you can afford to do. It starts out small, and you grow and grow and grow, and in terms of the number of decisions you make, whereas at the start of the game you could build like two things that you should build: satellites or workshops, and then you kind of build from there and you gain access to more technology. So it really does lead you along this path that sets you up for success. But at the same time, when you're playing the tactical game, which isn't, I don't find, like, that's easy to sort of figure out because you're moving your dudes around kind of like chess, and they have different abilities, and you shoot the aliens. But that part is ruthless, because when your guy's dead, he's gone, and that's, it's crazy. But
yeah, that's good. I mean, because I've avoided picking up for just a little bit because of remembering the XCOM games. And I love turn-based strategy games, but I've been avoiding it for a little while. One, because there's so many games out, but also too, I've kind of like, do I really feel like trying to learn something all over again? That's taken me
you
so
should.
Long.
I think you should dive head first. There's some things that are kind of weird with it, but I mean, I want DLC for this. There's no reason, like, Nick, your idea of having people controlling different continents, like, that would be an amazing DLC pack or some sort of expansion. But yeah, it's begging for something, and I'm really curious to see what the modding community can do, because I heard the word syndicate mod, and I was like, what? That is complete.
Oh, man.
That's complete boner fuel, especially in that engine. Like, man.
I don't know. Do you have it on PC or console, Locke?
I'm playing on PC with a controller. Play this game with
so
a controller.
It actually plays better with the controller. Like, I found that.
Go ahead, and I'll tell you the one thing that changed it for me.
It seems to snap better to where you want to go with the controller. With the mouse, sometimes it seems to be indecisive exactly where you're trying to place it.
Okay, the one thing that made me change over is that you can put your units into Overwatch, which means they'll take a shot if they see an enemy move. Overwatch changes on the keyboard when you're playing with mouse and keyboard, except on the controller it's always Y, and it's the action that you take the most that isn't move. You're always hitting Overwatch every turn, and I don't know why you would bind it. You wouldn't bind it to one key. Like, why wouldn't you put it on the one key? It, like, hops around depending on your squad mate's skills, which is stupid. So
yeah,
it's obviously been developed for consoles first, which is interesting, and I really hope people, like, don't get intimidated by this hardcore strategy game, because, you know, I don't know. Coming out alongside Dishonored is tough, but I think with all the critical acclaim it's getting, people will be able to check it out and they'll be able to keep making games like this.
Yeah. Well, and I'll talk some about Dishonored too, but yeah, it's been a good fall release so far for us.
It's crazy.
What else have you been playing?
A little bit of Retro City Rampage. That's a love letter to us, like, you know, people that, well, yeah, well, like, I don't know, people like
just the four of us.
Yeah, just
everyone
us.
Else is excluded.
It's just us. No, it's, you know, it has. You know,
I feel loved.
It's a 8-bit Grand Theft Auto that plays like GTA 1. And it has all these pop culture references from the 80s and 90s. And the gameplay changes on that, almost sort of like a WarioWare game where you're, you know, you're playing a Mega Man reference. Oh, now you're playing a Contra sort of game. Now you're doing this Grand Theft Auto style mission. And
Didn't it actually start as a demake?
Yeah.
Wasn't the origin of this game is they demade Grand Theft Auto 3 or 4 to NES style?
Yeah,
and then it became this.
Yeah, and it evolved from that, which is crazy. And the story's crazy. It's about like it's a satire on itself, I guess. It's like these big publishers are going through time and trying to steal or like gobble up all the indie devs so that they can, you know, develop for them, and you know, they won't let the indie devs go because you know, they'll just replace them with other developers. It's crazy, but it's a lot of fun. I really like the soundtrack and the style. I haven't got a ton of time with it. Like, I've played a couple missions in, but I'm looking forward to playing some more of that for sure.
Cool.
That's
cool.
About it. Yeah. Just seriously, cool. I could have done a part-time job with the time I put into XCOM, so.
One question for you for RCR, though. Do you feel like the whole retro parody, you know, love letter kind of thing is done with, though, at this point?
No, not at all. I don't know, maybe I'm a sucker for those types of things. Like, I like when Mega Man 9 came out. I love that they made Mega Man 10. Stuff like Fez, like, I love that stuff. So, things like Retro City Rampage just inundates you with, like, reference, plow, all these colors and stuff that it at times it's a little much. Like, you can barely keep up with all these things. Like, what was the one of the things? Like, in one of the scenes, like, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is interviewing Phil Fish, and I'm like, what?
Oh my god.
So,
wow.
I know, right? So, I don't know. Sometimes
I just got done watching Indie Game the movie, so that would be a rather interesting interview.
But, like, do people know who Phil Fish is, really? I guess people that are playing this game will, but I'm just...
Yeah.
That's
a know your audience.
Yeah, I guess so. But, yeah, stuff like that. Just, it's chock full of it. And I love it.
Very good.
Pick it up.
Well, I think, Mr. Castrofragus, that leaves you next.
Yeah, it does leave me. I've been playing, I hooked up my Genesis again, and I've been playing a lot of, you know, NHL 94, because, you know, see, here we go.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I've been playing, I got back into Diablo 3 a bit, because the 1.0.5 patch came out, and basically fixed a lot of the issues with Inferno, and yes, the games community still hates it. They're all idiots. The game feels more or less balanced now. Nice. The character, I was having a lot of trouble. Like, I could go through Inferno in a group, no problem, but playing it solo, I was having survivability issues. And with the new patch, still challenging, but I have the ability to actually play it on my own, which is nice. And they added the new monster power scaling in. So it's basically like you can... Remember how in Diablo 2 you could type /players8 and, you know, you'd get better drops and it'd be a little harder? Monster power is basically that. You enable it and you can scale monster power from no monster power, which is normal Inferno, through monster power 10. And it gives you a 10% boost to gold and magic find. For everyone that you pump it up, so you can actually go 100 points beyond the magic find cap of 300. And the game gets significantly harder with each level of monster power you add. So that's pretty cool. Been playing that. I've also been playing Silent Hill Book of Memories for the Vita. Which,
yes! The Silent Hill game!
It is, it's not the worst game I've played this year, but it's definitely close to it.
The worst game you've played this year is?
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Well, what is this game? Because it's quite divergent from the rest of the Silent Hill
series.
It's
an action RPG.
Right. Okay, so just like every other Silent Hill.
It's an isometric action RPG with character levels and loot and all that stuff, except it's also a Silent Hill game with no story, except there's a bit of a story where you're given this book on your birthday, and the book contains like all the stuff in your life, and your character says, "What happens if I rewrite some of these chapters?" And then you get pulled into a pastiche of worlds based on famous Silent Hill locations such as, you know, steel foundries and, you know, forests and such. And you go through the levels and you murder enemies in great quantity. And there are...
Always a good thing.
So at the end of the level, there is a puzzle. But in order to get to the puzzle, you have to clear every room in the level and get puzzle pieces. And the puzzle pieces come from beating challenges. So you'll be given a room. You'll go into a room and it'll say, kill every enemy without losing more than, you know, 20% life. And then you do that. It gives you a puzzle piece. And then you go to the end of the level and there's like... There'll be set all the puzzle pieces in the right order. Hey, you know, oh, there's a small one, there's a big one, there's a bunch in between. Maybe they go from smallest to biggest. Hey. And so they're really dumb, simple puzzles like that. The entire story of the game is told, like, there's an odd cutscene here every now and then, but for the most part it is you're picking up notes and reading a sentence. And that's it.
So,
I mean, the psychosexual horror tension of Silent Hill 2 has been completely scrapped in favor of reading about a bunch of high school people that work in gas stations and date boys.
Great.
And
awesome.
It's really bad, guys. And the co-op... so the co-op, there's online and there's ad hoc and online co-op, so you can do four players. And it works really well, except that progress is only saved on the host account, so that's awesome. It has this weird tendency to say, okay, there's all these element there. Each level has kind of like a predominant element, like there might be a fire level, or there's a level in the forest where everything's weak to fire, so you can go and replay the fire level and kill the boss and get the two-handed fire sword he drops, then bring it into the wood level and use the fire sword and kill all the enemies. And that's all well and good, but it's trying to be Silent Hill, so all your stuff breaks. And it's not like, oh, my weapon broke, I need to go fix it. It's my weapon broke and it's gone. And you have a limited capacity for repairing weapon. There's, you know, you can get a wrench item and it lets you repair the weapons that you're holding, but they are expensive in the store and they're rare to find in the world, so it encourages you to do all these things like go farm weapons and get things for situational use, but then it punishes you for using them. And I can't really think of anything that this game does right. I mean, it's you can get a laser gun, I found out, and when you create your character, you actually create a character. So I am currently dressed in a black tuxedo with red trim and glasses and a top hat, and I carry double axes and run around slashing my way through Silent Hill because this totally makes sense to be a Silent Hill game.
Yeah, I was just going to say, why is this a Silent Hill game?
I don't... It is Silent Hill and aesthetic only, because nothing else about... Nothing else about it says anything, like... There's nothing that makes it a Silent Hill game except the setting, and it's just...
It's like they took another game altogether and just slapped Silent Hill in there.
Kinda,
because, yeah.
It's just... It's very bad, and I have to write 1,000 words about it tonight, and I don't think many of them are going to be good.
Well, that's a shame.
Little spoiler for you guys.
Spoilers to whoever's watching
right
now.
The biggest thing that really pissed me off is I played for 4 straight hours in co-op.
Yeah.
As a guest on someone else's game.
And you didn't... No progress save.
No progress saved. I came back to my game, and I was on level 3.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's just... it's too bad that they didn't make this, like, as a Final Destination game, because, you know, the Silent Hill series is so dear to my heart, and when they tarnish it with something like this, it's just...
But it's been tarnished for a couple of years now, sir.
Now, you know, Downpour wasn't the best. Homecoming wasn't the best either. You know, it's been on... It's kind of been on a downward slide since 2. But, I mean, those are still really...
You know what else? The Room wasn't that good either.
No, you take... The Room was
go on
the cast
episode
hero.
95, where Locke comes to terms about Silent
Hill. I'm gonna stop talking about Silent Hill so I can lock my memories back up.
Why don't they just do a complete ground-up HD remake of the first game and just reboot the fucking series?
Oh, wait... Sorry.
Because then they might turn it into Resident Evil 6.
Okay, let's...
I think they already did that, though, didn't they?
You guys are hurting my feelings.
Silent Hill Frozen thing was, anyway.
Shattered Memories was great.
Shattered Memories was pretty cool.
They also made one that was a trucker in the game of Silent Hill.
Guys, I have a confession. I've never played a Silent Hill game.
Play Silent Hill 2.
Yeah, go play 2.
Silent Hill 2 is one of the greatest games ever made. All the rest of them are extremely hit or miss.
And that's not hyperbole. That's true.
It's true. It's like... Silent Hill 2 is like janky decision after janky decision, but it turns out that it's an amazing game. It's kind of like Deadly Premonition in that way.
Yeah.
There's like all this BS, and there's somehow a really awesome game underneath it all. And that's Silent Hill 2. And Silent Hill 3 is pretty good. For the most part. And then the rest of them are just kind of bad.
Wrong.
I think we should...
Okay, which one's good?
No, I don't...
All right, we'll have the Silent Hill cast later.
Yeah, we can have that offline. Where I don't get my feelings hurt.
Wrapping up our what you've been playing, I've pretty much only had time for Borderlands 2, although I did get a little bit of a chance to look at Dishonored, which was pretty fun.
What's your stance on marriage?
What's your stance on marriage? I watched Mike play it when I was out there, and I just watched him murder people left and right, and he was like, "We're gonna get married." I was like, "Okay." It's interesting though that I'm curious to see later on in the game how the whole dichotomy of killing people versus keeping people alive. It's a great world, but I feel like the setting or the way that the game interacts with it and kind of has you play through it isn't the best way to interact with that world. Like, I feel like you spend way too much time just on these set little missions doing, you know, go here and kill this thing or do whatever, that you get less immersion like you do in, like, a BioShock game. Like, I don't feel I'm in Dunwall or whatever it is, which I think is a missed opportunity for them. But otherwise, it's been pretty fun. So, what's in the news this week? First off, want to say huge congratulations to Eric, Mark, Christopher, David, James, John, and Heath for putting in their 24 hours of gaming this past weekend for Extra Life. And raising over $2,000. That's just absolutely great, guys. And Thank you to everyone too who donated to that cause. It's really, really awesome that you tuned in for that. So thanks, clap.
Nice work, guys. Yeah, that's awesome.
Other news: Captain Scarlet, the first Borderlands 2 DLC, hit last week, and Andrew put up some of his impressions. Basically, if you like Borderlands, you have more of what you like. If you don't like Borderlands, you have more of what you don't like. He found a few other issues with it. I mean, just in terms of it feels a little bit rushed and unpolished, which, given the fact that in the original Borderlands, their first set of DLC hit kind of like months after the game was released, and this one's hitting almost on the heels of it, not too surprised, but in the same kind of week that we got that, we got already leaks of the next set of DLC that's coming out with Mr. Torg's Crazy Carnage Wild Ride with a frog or something. I don't know. But I don't know. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet. Any of you guys been playing it?
I downloaded it, but I haven't played it.
Did you? Yeah, I downloaded it, but I've been playing Silent Hill.
Yay! I still haven't finished Borderlands yet, so.
Yeah, but we were talking before you were actually on. Jason and I are both saying we're kind of at the same spot, close to the end, but.
I really have a hard time playing by myself.
I have a hard time playing with anybody but myself. So.
And with that, we're going to wrap it up this week. I don't think anything else needs to be said, guys.
So, how about that new Halo game?
Yeah. We finally got the Halo 4 launch trailer, directed by David Lynch.
David Fincher.
I had David Lynch on the brain because of a comment from Nick about whether or not the Halo 4 trailer would include a scene from Mulholland Drive, which I was like, Mulholland Drive was Lynch, not Fincher.
Oh, what the part where, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
The best part.
You know, the part about that movie everyone remembers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, they had the launch trailer. I don't know. It looked kind of exciting. But, of course, the biggest news about Halo 4 is that the whole thing got leaked out to the internet. And, you know.
Whoops.
Yep.
The internet is an awesome place.
But the most interesting thing about that, I have to say, though, is that people went onto Xbox forums to post, hey, here's everything.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think, you're posting on the publishing company's website that here is the game, their big game that they're about to release in a few weeks. Has all common sense gone out the window these days? I mean,
I think they picked the exact proper place to troll. Do you remember when the sixth Harry Potter book came out and it leaked a month in advance and people spammed the World of Warcraft forums with the spoiler?
Yeah.
Like, pick a place where a bunch of people are going to be looking for Harry Potter news.
Apparently,
or would be interested in Harry Potter news. And many people who play World of Warcraft like their fantasy books.
Amidst killing orcs and humans for the greater good of the Horde/Alliance, you really want to know what happened to Harry Potter, so.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. Dumbledore dies in the end. So anyways.
And he's gay, remember.
Monaco officially is coming to XBLA and PC.
Finally!
No release date, but look.
You say finally, but we don't have a release date.
It's going to come out this year. He told me.
He told you.
Yes.
He did say that at PAX.
Yeah. This year. 2012 or 2013?
2012.
This fiscal year, it rolled over already, so, and he has till next October.
You guys are, give him the benefit of the doubt.
I like Andy, he's a good guy. But this
I think it'll come out this year.
I know.
It was like always supposed to come out on XBLA and PC. Like, that was, like, understood. The big news would have been if it was out on PSN exclusively or freaking
iPhone.
Yeah, an iOS version of it.
Actually, could you imagine a Wii U version of Monaco where someone was on the pad being like security forces or something?
Yeah. Yep.
That could be rad.
Yep.
That's a free idea.
But he, you know, he spent
Andy Schatz, redesign your game all over again.
He spent all the time rewriting like the core engine in different language and stuff to get it away from XNA, and it stayed there. I don't know. I'm not mad or anything. It just seems like a nothing announcement.
It just means it's closer to coming out. That's all I care about.
Yes.
And yet, we spent a good deal of time talking about it, so hey, it must be working for him.
And we've spent a great deal of time reviewing and playing it. It's really, really fun.
I mean, please don't get
to play it now.
I do, too. I'm really excited about that game and can't wait to actually get a chance to play it since I've only been able to see it and hear wonderful whispers through the vent in my room. So the co-op mode for Assassin's Creed 3 has been revealed. The
Wolfpack
mode. Yeah.
Are there going to be a bunch of Hangover references now?
I hope not.
Man, I'd rather there be a whole lot of Brotherhood of the Wolf references, because it would be really appropriate.
Yes.
I know.
All right.
I know. It'd be really appropriate. Seems pretty cool, though, from what they're saying, that, you know, you kind of pick a team of assassins and go around murdering people, and it gets harder and harder to do so as the sequences go on.
Yeah, the concept of it, like the gameplay element of you have to take down the target as fast as you can, and the faster you do it, the, you know, the more points and whatever you get. But also, the target risks fleeing if you spook them, kind of a thing. Like, I guess that's how you lose. Like, that kind of risk reward scenario should be pretty interesting.
So, not just charging down the middle of the street with a broadsword yelling at the top of your lungs.
Yeah, exactly. you're gonna fail pretty quick, I guess. So. Yeah, it sounds like, you know, that might force definitely some cooperative things to be at play. Maybe even, like, you know, spook them into the waiting arms of your co-op partner, kind of a thing or something. I don't know.
That'd be sweet.
Could be pretty cool.
The loving embrace.
Yeah, the loving embrace of his hatchet.
Cool. Yeah, definitely looking forward to that. That hits next week.
Next week. Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Jesus Christ, really?
Yeah, dude.
And I sit here every single day, tempted by that statue.
Yes, I know. I know.
Nick and I both were just like, we shouldn't, but yet.
Well, I'm even closer now because I went to order the Halo 4 limited edition and it sold out. So I was like,
Oh, well, you know, hey, you got that money.
Yeah.
I budgeted for a special edition statue. Might as well be Connor Rehaker, or whatever the heck his name is.
Exactly. That's what I want to hear Kristen Bell say, Desmond, this time you're going back as Connor Rehaker.
Well,
that's offensive to my culture.
Kristen Bell can't be in this game.
That's going to be the name of this episode.
Yeah, good luck spelling that, Nick.
You're welcome.
Pounds on the keyboard. Yeah, man. Assassin's Creed 3 is looking better and better, and I'm glad that they focused on the multiplayer because it was one of the more innovative competitive multiplayers in this generation, I feel. And by adding co-op to it, I think they're going to do some really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just think that multiplayer, since Brotherhood has gone underappreciated because it's not...
It's awesome.
Know, yeah, it's crazy.
Deadly
it's
hide
great.
And go seek.
Yeah, and that's it's totally novel, and it's nice to see this being highlighted and focused on, and, you know, getting new modes like this Wolfpack mode. So, look forward to it.
Cool.
Now the other question is, drop that money or not? I already dropped the money for the Ultimate Songbird Edition of BioShock Infinite when that was announced. So I was like, goes my money.
You paid $70
year,
for that bird
though.
Statue.
There went my money.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Don't drop the money, drop the base. Let's go.
Drop the beats.
This is exactly the point in the podcast, by the way, where the dubstep is going to kick in.
Only I have the power of that, so.
Yeah.
So I could make up some dubstep right here.
If Locke doesn't put it in, the podcast listeners, you know who to write your angry letters to.
Oh my god!
Anyway, continue the joke.
With that, we're going to wrap up this.
Yo, you've been talking to Claptrap.
More like a fish tank than a dubstep tank.
So, in sum, go play XCOM forever because it's amazing.
Because that's what Locke says.
I have to wait to play that game until I have nothing else to play because I know it will consume me.
Yep. That's...
So when you're 70 years old, you can go and play that game.
The nice thing about it, though, is you can kind of play like one or two quick missions in like 15-20 minutes.
That's like what you say.
Just fill some time.
Yeah,
and yet it's the Civilization V syndrome all over again. One or two quick missions, and then it's five in the morning.
Yeah,
you're like,
a couple turns in Civ V just takes like 3, 4, 5 minutes. Come on, just go a couple turns at a time. Yeah, that'll work out real well for you.
Nick's a pusher.
But a great citizen was just born. Dude. I have to lead them to glory. Or turn them into a fortress.
My support character, Nicholas Fundip Paleo, just got ranked to a colonel, so now he can do all this crazy stuff and throw grenades.
So that's Colonel Fundip to you.
Yeah, that's Colonel Fundip.
I think that's
the name of this
is.
Episode, Colonel Fundip.
I forgot all about right. that. Yeah, it gives you funny...
It gives them nicknames, right?
Nicknames,
oh, they're
yeah.
so good. Like, Double Down? Yes, please. Oh.
Wow.
All right. So with
maybe,
that,
maybe
for
I,
real
maybe
this time,
I need to just go ahead and fire up Steam.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
for real this
there
time.
Fundip sent him over the edge.
Don't forget, Co-Optimus, we got Windows 7, Android apps, iPhone apps, check out all our stuff. We got shirts on Split Reason. Are they still on sale? The sale's over at this point.
No, they're still $10. I've checked. I think they've kind of permanently dropped the price of them. They're trying to move the rest out.
That's no longer a sale, sir.
No,
that is a discount.
It's a clearance event. Everything must go.
These things sitting around the warehouse for a year. Get them out of here.
Leave feedback for us on iTunes, but try not to base it off of this episode.
I think
hey, this episode's
Jason.
Been fantastic. I don't know what you're talking about.
Follow us on Twitter. We are at Co-Optimus, COOPTIMUS. What's that spell?
Mickey Mouse.
Exactly.
Donald Duck.
Call in, leave us a voicemail. I don't think we've had but one in this whole time.
Please call. Operators are standing by.
646.
I will give you this fine tote bag.
I'll give you some fun
dip in the color brown.
6748. On behalf of myself.
He's out.
This is the best outro ever.
20-minute outro, because Jason's laughing at himself.
On behalf of myself, Locke, Mike, Nick.
Fun dip.
Oh, thank you all so much. You have a great week.
Peace.
We're
out. Oh, God.